Chapter 2. A New Arrival. Mazrim Taim. Before Rand, other men through the centuries had claimed to be the Dragon Reborn. The last few years before Rand had seen a plague of false dragons, some of whom could actually channel. Mazrim Taim was one of those, raising an army and ravaging Saldaia before he was taken. Bashir's face did not change, but he gripped his sword hilt, white-knuckle hard, and Tumad was looking at him for orders. Taim's escape on the way to Tar Valon to be gentled was the reason Bashir had come to Andor in the first place. That was how much Saldaia feared and hated Mazrim Taim. Queen Tenobia had sent Bashir with an army to pursue the man wherever he went, however long it took, to make sure Taim never troubled Saldaia again. The maidens merely stood calmly, but that name burst among the Andrans like a torch tossed in dry grass. Aramilla was just being helped to her feet, yet her eyes rolled up in her head again. She would have gone down in a heap once more if Karind had not eased her to the paving stones. Elagar staggered back among the columns and bent over, retching loudly. The rest were all gasps and panic, pressing handkerchiefs to mouths and clutching at sword hilts. Even stolid Karind licked her lips nervously. Rand took his hand away from his coat pocket. "The amnesty," he said, and both Saldaians gave him a long, flat look. "What if he has not come for your amnesty?" Bashir said after a moment. "What if he still claims to be the Dragon Reborn?" Feet shuffled among the Andorans. No one wanted to be within miles of where the One Power might be used in a duel. "If he thinks that," Rand said firmly, "I will disabuse him." He had the rarest sort of Angreal in his pocket, one made for men, a carving of a fat little man with a sword. However strong Taim might be, he could not stand up to that. "But if he has come for the amnesty, it is his, the same as any other." Whatever Taim had done in Saldaia, he could not afford to turn away a man who could channel, a man who would not have to be taught from the first steps. He needed such a man. He would turn away no one except one of the Forsaken, not unless he was forced to. "Demondred and Samael, Semirag and Messana, Asmodian and—" Rand forced Luz Theron down. He could not afford distractions now. Again Bashir paused before speaking, but finally he nodded and let go of his sword. "Your amnesty holds, of course. But mark me, Althor, if Taim ever sets foot in Saldaia again, he will not live to leave. There are too many memories. No command I give, nor Tenobia herself, will stop it."
"I will keep him out of Saldaia."
Either Taim had come here to submit to him, or else it was going to be necessary to kill him. Unconsciously, Rand touched his pocket, pressing the fat little man through the wool. "Let's have him in here." Tumad eyed Bashir, but Bashir's short nod came so quickly that it seemed Tumad bowed in response to the spoken command. Irritation flashed in Rand, but he said nothing, and Tumad hurried away in that slightly rolling walk. Bashir folded his arms across his chest and stood with one knee bent, a portrait of a man at his ease. Those dark-tilted eyes, fixed on the way Tumad had gone, made it a portrait of a man waiting to kill something. The scuffling of feet started again among the Andorans, hesitant half-steps away, then pulling back. Their breathing sounded as though they had run miles.
"You may leave," Rand told them. "I, for one, will stand at your shoulder," Lur began, just as Neon said sharply. "I will not run before—"
Rand cut them both off.
"Go!"
They wanted to show him they were unafraid, even if they were ready to soil themselves. They wanted to run, abandoning what dignity they had not already tossed at his feet. It was a simple choice. He was the Dragon Reborn, and currying favor meant obedience, and obedience in this case meant doing what they truly wanted. A flurry of extravagant bows and deep skirt-spreading curtsies, hurried murmurs of "By your leave, my lord dragon," and "As you command, my lord dragon," and they were not exactly scurrying out, but walking as quickly as they could manage without appearing to scurry. in the opposite direction from that in which Tumad had gone. No doubt they did not want to risk a chance encounter with Mazrim Taim on his way in. The waiting stretched out in the heat. It took time to bring a man through the sprawling corridors from the palace gates. But once the Andorans were gone, no one moved. Bashir kept his gaze steady on the place Taim would appear. The maidens watched everywhere, but they always did, and if they looked ready to veil themselves again in an instant, they always did that too. Except for their eyes, they could have been statues. Finally, the sound of boots echoed into the courtyard. Rand almost reached out for Saideen, then held back. The man would be able to tell he held the power as soon as he entered the court. Rand could not afford to appear afraid of him. Tumad emerged into the sunlight first, then a black-haired man of slightly above average height, whose dark face and tilted eyes, hooked nose and high cheekbones marked him another Saldaean. Though he was clean-shaven and garbed like a once prosperous Andoran merchant lately fallen on hard times. His dark blue coat had been of fine wool trimmed in darker velvet, but wear had made the cuffs ragged. His breeches bagged at the knee, and dust coated his cracked boots. Still, he walked proudly, no mean feat, with four more of Bashir's men behind him, those almost straight, slightly serpentine blades bare, and the points inches from his ribs. The heat hardly seemed to touch him. The maiden's eyes followed his progress. Rand studied Taim as the man and his escort crossed the courtyard. At least 15 years older than himself, 35 then, or a few years more at most. Little was known and less written of men who could channel. It was a subject most decent people avoided, but Rand had learned what he could. Relatively few men actually sought it out. That was one of Rand's problems. Since the breaking, most men who channeled had the ability born in them, ready to spring out as they grew into manhood. Some managed to keep madness at bay for years before Aes Sedai found and gentled them. Others were already hopelessly mad when found, at times less than a year after first touching Saideen. Rand had clung to sanity for close to 2 years so far, yet in front of him he had a man who must have managed it for 10 or 15. That alone was worth something. They halted a few paces before him at a gesture from Tumad. Rand opened his mouth, but before he could speak, Luz Theron rose up in a frenzy in his head. Samael and Demandred hated me. Whatever honors I gave them, the more honors, the worse the hate, until they sold their souls and went over. Demandred especially. I should have killed him. I shall have killed them all. Scorch the earth to kill them all. Scorch the earth! Face frozen, Rand fought for his own mind. I am Rand Althor. Rand Althor. I never knew Samael or Demandred or any of them. The light burn me, I am Rand Althor. Like a faint echo, one more thought came from elsewhere. The light burn me. It sounded like a plea. Then Luz Theron was gone, driven back into whatever shadows he lived in. Bashir took advantage of the silence.
You say you're Mazrim Taim?
He sounded doubtful, and Rand looked at him in confusion. Was this Taim or not? Only a madman would claim that name, if it was not his. The prisoner's mouth quirked in what might have been the beginning of a smile, and he rubbed his chin.
I shaved, Bashir.
His voice held more than a hint of mockery.
It is hot this far south, or had you not noticed? Hotter than it should be even here. Do you want proof of me? Shall I channel for you?
His dark eyes flickered to Rand, then back to Bashir, whose face was growing darker by the minute.
Perhaps not that, not now. I remember you. I had you beat at Irinjavar until those visions appeared in the sky. But everyone knows that. What does everyone not know that you and Mazrim Taim will?
Focused on Bashir, he seemed unaware of his guards or their swords still hovering near his ribs.
I hear you hid what happened to Masar and Tachari and their wives.
The mockery was gone. He was just relating what had happened now.
They shouldn't have tried to kill me under a parley flag. I trust you found them good places as servants. All they really want to do now is serve and obey. They won't be happy otherwise. I could have killed them. They all four drew daggers.
Time, Bashir growled, hand darting for his hilt. You...
Rand stepped in front of him, seizing his wrist with the blade half-drawn. The guard's blades, Tumad's as well, were touching Taim now, very likely touching flesh, the way they were shoved against his coat. But he did not flinch.
"Did you come to see me?" Rand demanded, "or to taunt Lord Bashir? If you do it again, I'll let him kill you. My amnesty pardons what you've done, but it doesn't let you flaunt your crimes."
Taim studied Rand a moment before speaking. Despite the heat, the fellow barely sweated.
"To see you. You were the one in the vision in the sky. They say it was the Dark One himself you fought."
"Not the Dark One," Rand said. Bashir was not fighting him exactly, but he could feel the tension in the man's arm. If he let go, that blade would be out and through Taim in a heartbeat. Unless he used the power, or Taim did. That had to be avoided if it could be. He kept his grip on Bashir's wrist.
"He called himself Baal-Zaman, but I think he was Ishamael. I killed him later, in the Stone of Tyr."
"I hear you've killed a number of the Forsaken. Should I call you my Lord Dragon? I have heard this lot use the title. Do you mean to kill all the Forsaken?"
"Do you know any other way to deal with them?" Rand asked. "They die or the world does. Unless you think they can be talked into abandoning the shadow the way they abandoned the light."
This was becoming ridiculous. Here he was, carrying on a conversation with a man who certainly had 5 sword points drawing blood beneath his coat, while he himself held on to another man who wanted to add a 6th and draw more than a trickle. At least Bashir's men were too disciplined to do more without their general's word. At least Bashir was keeping his mouth shut. Admiring Taim's coolness, Rand went on as quickly as he could without seeming to be hurried. "Whatever your crimes are, Taim, they pale beside the Forsaken's. Have you ever tortured an entire city, made thousands of people assist in breaking each other slowly, in breaking their own loved ones? Semirag did that for no more reason than that she could, to prove she could, for the pleasure of it. Have you murdered children? Grendel did. She called it kindness, so they would not suffer after she enslaved their parents and carried them away." He just hoped the other Saldaeans were listening half as closely as Taim. The man had actually leaned forward slightly in interest. He hoped they did not ask too many questions about where all this came from. "Have you given people to Trollocs to eat?" "All the Forsaken did. Prisoners who would not turn always went to the Trollocs, if they weren't murdered out of hand. But Demandred captured 2 cities just because he thought the people there had slighted him before he went over to the Shadow, and every man, woman, and child went into Trolloc bellies. Messana set up schools in the territory she controlled, schools where children and young people were taught the glories of the Dark One, taught to kill their friends who didn't learn well enough or fast enough. I could go on. I could start from the beginning of the list and go through all 13 names, adding 100 crimes as bad to every name. Whatever you've done, it doesn't rank with that. And now you've come to accept my pardon, to walk in the light and submit to me. To battle the Dark One as hard as you ever battled anyone. The Forsaken are reeling. I mean to hunt them all down, eradicate them, and you will help me. For that, you've earned my pardon. I tell you true, you'll probably earn it 100 times over again before the last battle is done." At last he felt Bashir's arm relax, felt the man's sword sliding back into its scabbard. Rand barely stopped himself from exhaling in relief. "I don't see any reason to guard him so closely now. Put up your swords." Slowly, Tumad and the others began sheathing their blades. Slowly, but they were doing it. Then Taim spoke.
Submit. I had thought more of a compact between us.
The other Saldaeans tensed. Bashir was still behind Rand, but Rand could feel him stiffening. The maidens did not move a muscle, except that Jelani's hand twitched toward her veil. Taim tilted his head unaware.
I would be the lesser partner, of course, yet I have had years more than you to study the power. There is much I could teach you.
Rage rose up in Rand till his vision filmed red. He had spoken of things he should have no knowledge of, had probably birthed a dozen rumors about himself and the Forsaken, all to make this fellow's deeds seem less dark, and the man had the audacity to speak of compacts. Luz Theron raved in his head,
kill him now, kill him!
For once, Rand did not bother to quell the voice.
No compact, he growled, no partners. I am the Dragon Reborn Taim, me. If you have knowledge I can make use of, I will. But you will go where I say, do as I say, when I say.
Without a pause, Taim slipped to one knee.
I submit to the Dragon Reborn. I will serve and obey.
The corners of his mouth quivered again in that almost smile as he rose. Tumad gaped at him.
That fast, Rand said softly.
The rage was not gone. It was white hot. If he gave way, he was not sure what he would do. Luz Theron still babbled in the shadows of his head.
Kill him! Must kill him!
Rand pushed Luz Theron away to a barely audible murmur. Perhaps he should not be surprised at this. Strange things happened around Taviren, especially one as strong as himself. That a man might change his mind in a moment, even if his course had been carved in stone, should be no great surprise. But the anger had him, and a strong streak of suspicion.
You named yourself the Dragon Reborn. Fought battles all over Saldaea. Were only captured because you were knocked unconscious. And you give up this quickly? Why?
Taim shrugged.
What are my choices? To wander the world alone, friendless, hunted, while you rise to glory? That's supposing Bashir doesn't manage to kill me before I can leave the city, or your Aiel women don't. Even if they don't, the Aes Sedai will corner me sooner or later. I doubt the tower means to forget Mazarim Taim. Or I can follow you, and part of that glory will be mine.
For the first time he looked around, at his guards, at the maidens, and shook his head as if he could not believe it.
I might have been the one. How could I be sure otherwise? I can channel. I'm strong. What said I was not the Dragon Reborn? All I had to do was fulfill just one of the prophecies.
Like managing to be born on the slopes of Dragonmount, Rand said coldly.
That was the first prophecy to be met.
Taim's mouth quirked again. It really was not a smile. It never touched his eyes.
Victors write history. Had I taken the Stone of Tyr, history would have shown I was born on Dragonmount, of a woman never touched by a man, and the heavens opened up in radiance to herald my coming. The sort of thing they say about you now. But you took the stone with your Aiel, and the world hails you as the Dragon Reborn. I know better than to stand against that.
You are the one.
Well, since the whole loaf won't be mine, I will settle for whatever slices fall my way.
You may find honors, Taim, and you may not. If you begin to fret over them, think what happened to the others who've done what you did. Loghain, captured and gentled. Rumor says he died in the tower. A nameless fellow beheaded in Haddon Mirk by the Tyrans. Another burned by the Mirandians. Burned alive, Taim. That's what the Ilioners did to Goran Rogad 4 years ago as well.
Not a fate I would embrace, Taim said levelly.
Then forget honors and remember the last battle. Everything I do is aimed at Tarmon Gaden. Everything I tell you to do will be aimed at it. You will aim at it.
Of course, Taim spread his hands. You are the Dragon Reborn. I don't doubt that. I acknowledge it publicly.
we march toward Tarmangaden, which the prophecies say you will win, and the histories will say that Mazarim Taim stood at your right hand.
Perhaps, Rand told him curtly. He had lived too many prophecies to believe any of them meant exactly what they said, or even that they ensured anything. In his opinion, prophecy set the conditions that had to be met for a thing to happen. Only meeting them did not mean the thing would happen, just that it could. Some of the conditions set in the prophecies of the dragon more than implied that he had to die for any chance at victory. Thinking of that did nothing for his temper. The lights and your chance doesn't come too soon. Now, what knowledge do you have that I need? Can you teach men to channel? Can you test a man to know whether he can be taught? Unlike women, one man who could channel could not simply sense the ability in another. There was as much difference between men and women with the one power as there was between men and women. Sometimes it was a matter of hair-fine degree, sometimes stone versus silk.
Your amnesty? Some fools have actually shown up to learn how to be like you and me.
Bashir only stared at Taim contemptuously, arms folded and boots spread apart, but Tumad and the guards shifted uneasily. The maidens did not. Rand had no idea how the maidens felt about the score of men who had answered his call. They never gave any sign. With the memory of Taim as a false dragon strong in their heads, few of the Saldaeans could hide their ill ease.
"Just answer me, Taim. If you can do what I want, say so. If not..."
That was the anger talking. He could not send the man away, not if every day was a struggle with him. Taim seemed to think he would, though.
"I can do both," he said quickly. "I have found 5 over the years, not that I was really looking, but only one had the courage to go beyond the testing." He hesitated, then added, "He went mad after 2 years. I had to kill him before he killed me."
2 years. You've held it off a deal longer than that. How?
Worried? Taim asked softly, then shrugged. I can't help you. I don't know how. I just did. I'm sane as...
His eyes flickered toward Bashir, ignoring the other man's flat stare.
As Lord Bashir.
But Rand wondered, suddenly. Half the maidens had returned to watching the rest of the courtyard. They were not likely to focus so deeply on one possible threat that they ignored others. The possible threat was Taim, and the second half of the maidens still had their eyes fixed on him and Rand for any sign the threat was real. Any man would have to be aware of them, sudden death in their eyes, their hands. Rand was, and they wanted to protect him. And Tumad and the other guards still gripped their sword hilts, ready to draw again. If Bashir's men and the Aiel decided to kill Taim, the man would have a hard time escaping that courtyard, however he channeled, unless Rand helped him. Yet Taim paid the soldiers and the maidens no more outward attention than he did the colonnade's columns or the paving stones beneath his boots. Bravery, real or feigned, or something else? A kind of madness? After a moment of silence, Taim spoke again.
You don't trust me yet. No reason you should. Yet. In time you will. In token of that future trust, I brought you a present.
From under his worn coat he pulled a rag-wrapped bundle a little larger than a man's 2 fists together. Frowning, Rand took it, and his breath caught when he felt the heart shape inside. Hastily he pulled away multicolored rags, revealing a disc the size of his palm. A disc like that on the scarlet banner above the palace. Half white and half black, the ancient symbol of Aes Sedai, before the breaking of the world. He ran his fingers across the mated teardrops. Only 7 like this had been made of Gwendiyar. Seals on the Dark One's prison, seals that held the Dark One away from the world. He had 2 more, hidden away very carefully, protected very carefully. Nothing could break Gwendiyar, not even the One Power. The lip of a delicate cup made of heartstone could scratch steel or diamond.
but 3 of the 7 had been broken. He had seen them, shattered, and he had watched Moraine carve a thin sliver from the edge of one. The seals were weakening, the light alone knew why or how. The disc in his hands had the hard slickness of Quendiar, like a blend of the finest porcelain and polished steel, but he was sure it would break if he let it fall to the stones under his feet. 3 broken, 3 in his possession. Where was the 7th? Only 4 seals stood between humankind and the Dark One. 4, if the last was still whole. Only 4 standing between humankind and the last battle. How well did they still hold, weakened as they were? Luz Theron's voice came up like thunder.
Break it! Break them all! Must break them! Must break them all! Break them and strike! Must strike quickly! Must strike now! Break it! Break it! Break it!
Rand shook with the effort of fighting that voice down, forcing away a mist that clung like spider webs. His muscles ached as if he wrestled with a man of flesh, a giant. Handful by handful, he stuffed the fog that was Luz Theron into the deepest crannies, the deepest shadows he could find in his mind. Abruptly, he heard the words he was muttering hoarsely.
Must break it now. Break them all. Break it, break it, break it.
Abruptly, he realized he had his hands over his head, holding the seal, ready to smash it to the white pavement. The only thing stopping him was Bashir, up on his toes, hands raised to grip Rand's arms.
"I don't know what that is," Bashir said quietly, "but I think maybe you should wait before deciding to break it, eh?"
Tumad and the others were no longer watching Taim. They gaped wide-eyed at Rand. Even the maidens had shifted their eyes to him, eyes full of concern. Sulan took a half-step toward the men, and Jelani's hand was outstretched toward Rand as if she did not realize it.
"No," Rand swallowed, his throat hurt. I don't think I should.
Bashir stepped back slowly, and Rand brought the seal down just as slowly. If Rand had thought Taim unflappable, he had proof to the contrary now. Shock painted the man's face.
Do you know what this is, Taim? Rand demanded.
You must, or you wouldn't have brought it to me. Where did you find it? Do you have another? Do you know where another is?
No,
Taim said, voice unsteady. Not with fear, precisely. More like a man who had felt a cliff unexpectedly crumbling under him and had somehow found himself back on solid ground.
That is the only one I have heard all sorts of rumors since I escaped the Aes Sedai. Monsters leaping out of thin air. Strange beasts. Men talking to animals, and the animals talking back. Aes Sedai going mad like we're supposed to. Whole villages going mad, killing each other. Some could be true. Half what I know to be true is no less insane. I heard some of the seals have been broken. A hammer could break that one.
Bashir frowned, stared at the seal in Rand's hands, then gasped. He understood.
Where did you find it? Rand repeated. If he could find the last, then what?
Luz Theron stirred, but he refused to listen.
In the last place you would expect, Taim replied, which I suppose is the first place to look for the others. A decaying little farm in Saldea. I stopped for water, and the farmer gave it to me. He was old, with no children or grandchildren to pass it on to, and he thought I was the dragon reborn. He claimed his family had guarded it more than 2,000 years. Claimed they were kings and queens during the Trolloc Wars, and nobles under Utter Hawkwing. His tale could have been true, no more unlikely than finding that in a hut only a few days' ride from the Blight border.
Rand nodded, then stopped to gather up the rags. He was used to the unlikely happening around him. It had to happen elsewhere, sometimes. Hurriedly rewrapping the seal, he handed it to Bashir.
Guard this carefully.
Break it!
He squashed the voice hard.
Nothing must happen to it. Bashir took the bundle reverently in both hands. Rand was unsure whether the man's bow was for him or the seal.
For 10 hours or 10 years, it will be safe until you require it.
For a moment, Rand studied him.
Everybody's waiting for me to go mad, afraid of it, but not you.
You must have thought I finally was just now, but you weren't afraid of me even then. Bashir shrugged, grinning behind his gray-streaked mustaches.
When I first slept in a saddle, Muad Chida was Marshal General. The man was as mad as a hare in spring thaw. Twice every day he searched his body servant for poison, and he drank nothing but vinegar and water, which he claimed was sovereign against the poison the fellow fed him. But he ate everything the man prepared for as long as I knew him. Once he had a grove of oaks chopped down because they were looking at him, and then insisted they be given decent funerals. He gave the oration. Do you have any idea how long it takes to dig graves for 23 oak trees? Why didn't somebody do something? His family?
Those not mad as he was, or madder, were afraid to look at him sideways. Tanobia's father wouldn't have let anyone touch Chida anyway. He might have been insane, but he could out-general anyone I ever saw. He never lost a battle. He never even came close to losing.
Rand laughed.
So you follow me because you think I can out-general the Dark One?
I follow you because you are who you are, Bashir said quietly. The world must follow you, or those who survive will wish themselves dead.
Slowly Rand nodded. The prophecies said he would break nations and bind them together. Not that he wanted to, but the prophecies were his only guide to how to fight the last battle, how to win it. Even without them, he thought the binding together was necessary. The last battle would not be just him against the Dark One. He could not believe that. If he was going mad, he was not yet mad enough to believe he was more than a man. It would be mankind against Trollocs and Murdral, too, and every sort of shadow spawn the Blight could vomit out, and dark friends rising out of their hiding places. There would be other dangers on that road to Tarmangaden, and if the world was not united...
You do what must be done.
He was not sure whether that was himself or Luce Theron, but it was the truth, as far as he could see. Walking quickly to the nearest colonnade, he spoke over his shoulder to Bashir.
I am taking Taim to the farm. Do you want to come along?
The farm? Taim said.
Bashir shook his head.
Thank you, no, he said dryly.
He might not allow any nerves to show, but Rand and Taim together were probably as much as he could take. He certainly avoided the farm.
My men are growing soft, policing the streets for you. I mean to put some of them back into their saddles properly for a few hours. You are going to inspect them this afternoon. Has that changed?
What farm? Taim said.
Rand sighed, suddenly weary.
No, that hasn't changed. I will be there if I can.
It was too important to change, though none but Bashir and Matt knew. He could not let anyone else think it more than a casual matter, a useless ceremony for a man growing taken with the pomp of his position, the dragon reborn going out to be cheered by his soldiers. He had another visit to make today, too, one that everyone would think he was trying to keep secret. It might even stay secret, from most, but he had no doubt that those he wanted to learn of it would. Taking up his sword from where it stood against one of the narrow columns, he buckled it on over his undone coat. The belt was unadorned dark boar hide, just like the scabbard and the long hilt. The buckle was ornate, a finely worked dragon of etched steel inlaid with gold. He should get rid of that buckle, find something plain. He could not bring himself to do it, though. It had been a gift from Avienda, which was the reason he should rid himself of it. He could never think his way out of that circle. Something else waited there for him, too,
a 2-foot length of spear with a green and white tassel below the sharp head. He hefted it as he turned back to the courtyard. One of the maidens had carved the short shaft with dragons. Some people were already calling it the Dragon Scepter, especially Alenia and that lot. Rand kept the thing close to remind himself that he might have more enemies than those he could see.
"What farm are you talking about?"
Taim's voice grew harder.
"Where is it you mean to take me?"
For a long moment, Rand studied the man. He did not like Taim. Something in the fellow's manner would not allow it. Or maybe something in himself. For so long, he had been the only man who could even think of channeling without looking over his shoulder in a sweat for Aes Sedai. Well, it seemed a long time, and at least the Aes Sedai would not try to gentle him, not now that they knew who he was. Could it be as simple as that? Jealousy that he was no longer unique? He did not think so. Apart from everything else, he would welcome more men who could channel walking the earth unmolested. Finally, he would stop being a freak. No, it would not go that far, not this side of Tarmangaden. He was unique. He was the dragon reborn. Whatever his reasons, he just did not like the man.
"Kill him!" Luththeryn shrieked. "Kill them all!"
Rand pushed the voice back down. He did not have to like Taim, only to use him. And trust him. That was the hard part. "I'm taking you where you can serve me," he said coldly. Taim did not flinch or frown. He merely watched and waited, the corners of his mouth twitching for one moment in that almost smile.